appreciate the way in which you've put it together. And the further elaborations that you've provided for us this afternoon have also been really helpful. Just to take the issue of the low impact design systems a little bit further, I'm just wanting to understand, I guess, to what degree you see it possible within the scope of this particular site to incorporate low impact design systems into into the stormwater management and control design. And you have mentioned, I think, swales, you know, in terms of car parking areas and the use of neutral building materials and things like that. But I'm also aware that low impact design ultimately, I think, aims to protect natural water systems and encourages the replication of natural hydrology. To what degree do you think there is scope within the hub site for that kind of design to occur?
To what degree? There is scope for it. To what degree? I don't think on this or any other development that I have seen or worked on that we are able to fully replicate pre-development hydrology in post-development conditions. Mm. Part of the reason for that is the land use at the moment is not pre-development hydrology. The land has already been developed to the state it's in now.
Mm.
Pre-development, we didn't have the drainage. We didn't have the drainage that's been formed on the land. We didn't have the paddocks and grass. It was more of a bush-covered swamp
sure.
land.
Yeah.
We are not going to be able to recreate that hydrology.
No, I understand.
I sort of doubt we'll fully create even the current hydrology on the land either, but we've got to start somewhere and achieve what we can. And for me, certainly with the emphasis now through the consenting processes, that is a real key through the consenting processes. I would anticipate we'd be pushed along those lines to get the best we can.
Mm.
And, you know, the reuse is one of it. I'm really pleased to see the stream recreation to the north. And if I had my way, you know, we'll shuffle a bit on the site to enable more of that, but that depends on site constraints.
Yes.
There's a lot of planting around the site. That really helps with achieving that pre-development hydrology, with having that interception and evapotranspiration, particularly from trees.
Mm.
That helps. Having the wetlands at the bottom end also helps on that. There may well be areas on the site where we can also get more infiltration going into the ground. All of that will, I think, need to be looked at through the consenting phase.
Yes.
To what degree we'll achieve pre-development hydrology will depend on what we can end up putting in, what can work. And it's all around those really regular storms. You know, engineers historically, we're about the bigger storms. But this low-impact design, we're having to do a shift in thinking to those really regular storms.
Yeah.
You know, that first 5 or 10 millimetres of rainfall.
Sure.
How can we avoid that running off?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. So I take it from your answer that there may be a little bit of give or take based on the current sort of concept design in terms of, integrating a little bit more, low impact design, stormwater control.
Yeah, it's another process to go through.
Yeah.
For the designation, we wanted the footprint.
Yes.
for the next stages, we've now got to really understand what's going on within that footprint.
Okay.
So it's that next process.
Yes, yes.
And we haven't done that yet, so I can't give you a good answer. Just that waffly answer I gave you.
No, that's helpful. Paragraph 7.28, you do say that from a stormwater engineering perspective, considering the operational constraints or imperatives of the site, to avoid piping or culverting some of the streams within the site is not possible. I'm interested in your use of some of the streams because my understanding is that the streams will predominantly be unavoidably culverted or reclaimed through the site. So are you suggesting that there may be a bit more scope, a little bit more potential for some of those streams to perhaps not have to be culverted?
The only one I see at this stage where that potential is this northern water.
So that is the only one that you see the potential for that?
At this stage, that's the only one, yes.
Thank you for that clarification. Now, just in terms of the comment you made in terms of the conclusions that you've come to in your evidence and the broad level agreement you've reached with the Section 42A reporting officer in relation to stormwater, is that I understand that from your perspective, the footprint is within the site is adequate to mitigate stormwater effects. I think that's what you said. Is that
in essence?
In
yes.
Essence. Yep. Thank you. I'm just wondering in relation to the issue around the district plan requirements. For 10% of the northern industrial area within the site to be retained on site within detention ponds and stormwater flow to be managed that way to prevent flooding further downstream. Is there a concern from your point of view around the possibility of those rules being extended across the entirety of the NOR site?
I haven't turned my mind to the risk of those rules being spread across the site, but I have considered them because what you're talking about there is a performance standard and I think it's restricted discretionary activity. And I must admit, as a mere engineer, I'm a bit confused by it. And I've got it highlighted here. It's in a suite of three performance standards. The first one is any activity must provide on-site retention for the first 5 millimetres of a 24-hour rainfall event. Now, retention is a term we use in stormwater. It says, hold on to it, don't let it go. That doesn't leave the site. So, and that's how I understand retention. And that first one, I understand that. Don't have a problem with that. But then that second one, which is the one you refer to, says 10% of a site must be set aside for on-site stormwater retention purposes. Now, hang on. If we've found another means to retain the 5 millimetres, where does this 10% of the site comes in? I'm really confused about how it is to be enforced, because it's just because I set aside 10% of the site doesn't mean I'm achieving retention. And so I just don't know how that one works. So I am confused on it.
Well, I don't pretend to be an expert on planning matters myself either, and we will leave that to the experts. But quite apart from the retention issue, or the reuse issue, in terms of retention on site, would that present a problem in terms of the adequacy of space available for, you know, stormwater detention of that magnitude?
Stormwater retention for 5 millimetres. Methods of retention include infiltration, include storage and reuse,
right.
Include low-impact design facilities, yes, like our rain gardens or reforestation.
Right.
How hard that will be to achieve that will depend on how much water we can reuse. I understand there's washing facilities on site. That's a great one for reuse. At five millimetres, it's at the lower end. I think it would be okay. I must admit, though, when I look at the rest of the NES site, I'm not sure where I can see it's achieved on those sites either. I am confused a little with how council's implementing those provisions.
Perhaps we might be able to get some further clarification from the planners at the appropriate time. Thank you very much for those responses in the meantime. Just check to make sure that my questions have been covered. We heard in earlier evidence, I think from Mr. Skelton, that the stormwater ponds, wetlands, will obviously need to be constructed, during which time, you know, they won't be in place to manage the stormwater effects, which makes a lot of sense. So I'm just wondering, during the period in which those stormwater ponds will be constructed, how will the effects of stormwater flow from the site be managed?
the site won't be constructed yet, for a start. That's the excavation of those will be one of the early activities. So really what we're talking about is the erosion and sediment control through those earthworks, that earthworks stage, because the site, as we see there, just isn't there,
yes,
yet, because that's one of those early works that has to be done.
Right.
So to construct those, there'll need to be local erosion and sediment control set up, absolutely. And then they will be formed. How far through they are formed, there's a staging thing that needs to be thought about, because while they're operating as erosion and sediment control facilities, we don't want them all planted out as full-on wetlands, because with the sediment load, you smother the wetlands. So there is a staged process you go through there.
I understand.
As you progressively stabilise your site.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that clarification. And just one further question in relation to the conditions. You talked a little bit about the stormwater management framework, and that you hadn't envisaged that would be necessary at this stage of the NOR process, and that would be something that would come through the detailed design stage during the regional consenting process later on. But my understanding was that this was regarded as important partly because it would enable the involvement of other parties like the Mana Whenua, for instance, who have expressed a keen interest and desire to be involved in the development of, managing the effects on water bodies and systems throughout the site from a mana te mana o te wai perspective, which brings into play the stormwater provisions and effects as well. So I had thought that was one of the primary motivations for including the stormwater framework as a condition on the NOR. Have you been appraised of that perspective at all?
I'm aware there's certainly a requirement in there for consultation, and I'm not sure if I've used the right term there, whether it's consultation or collaboration, I'm not sure the right term. Whether that needs to be carried out through a stormwater management framework that has is doing all of the activities of the stormwater management framework, or whether that's an activity that just needs to be carried out anyway, I'm not quite sure what the, you know, that's going beyond my technical expertise is the right way to the right process. But you know, I think there are other ways of achieving those outcomes.
Okay.
And those important outcomes.
Mm. Thanks very much for your responses, and it may be that we further address those issues through the planners at the appropriate time. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mr. Leahy. I just have one question, and please forgive the potential naivety of this. We're potentially taking 177 hectares of permeable ground and putting it into an impermeable surface. And we have the Palmerston North City Council main water bore at the end of the site. So I'm just wondering whether concreting over 177 hectares is going to have an effect on groundwater recharge, water take from the bore, and if so, what sort of magnitude we might be looking at?
My very easy answer for that is I haven't looked at groundwater effects. I haven't. I'm a surface water engineer, not a groundwater engineer. I did ask a similar question earlier. The answer I was told, I guess this is all hearsay, is that the catchment for that bore is way up beyond this site. It's not just about local runoff on this site. But I'm not a groundwater person.
Okay, so thank you for that. I appreciate your openness there. So maybe it's a wider question for Kiwi Rail to find an answer, because I'm quite interested in that, if you could. Thank you.
Mr. Leahy, that's all the questions from the panel, and I appreciate you making what is effectively the graveyard shift and giving evidence, the afternoon shift, into a very entertaining and enjoyable time. So thank you very much for that.
Well, stormwater is a very enjoyable topic.
just one question.
Just
so,
hang on,
Mike.
It's not to Mr. Leahy.
Very good. And I have a question as well too, but yes, ma'am.
Just some homework for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please advise us if Kiwi Rail will be liable for the payment of development contributions
mm-hmm.
for the development of the site?
Mm-hmm.
And what those would be likely going to? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's the only question.
Did you have a question?
Just simply around sort of next steps and witnesses, and I'm presuming that given that you called this the graveyard shift, we're finished with witnesses today. We're a little bit behind our schedule, and I know we've had some witnesses on tender hooks and in their best suits all day, but that's just the way it goes, particularly when we have exciting issues like transport and stormwater to occupy us for many, many, many hours, which has really been great.
You wait till we start asking questions on social impact.
I know, it's a double-edged sword, really, isn't it, Christy? So I think let's pick up that, read the room on that. That was really just confirming that we'll start at 9 tomorrow with social impact, ecology, and contaminated land and air quality.
Yes, that is correct. What I did want to say is that Ms. Bell has been the recipient of a lot of hospital passes,
mm-hmm.
and I said that we should give the whole week to Kiwi Rail mm-hmm. because we don't know the pace
mm-hmm.
and also because I anticipated that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if Ms. Bell wants further time or a break within the period to collect her thoughts and put considered responses, we would be receptive to breaks or a change or some gaps or filling it with other people out of sequence, because I think it's really unfair on a planner to have to pick up what is quite difficult stuff and manage it. So
indeed, sir.
That offer is made.
Thank you. And I think the way in which both the panel and Kath have set up this week and noting we've got, we're loading submitters onto next week does really enable us to be a little bit nimble.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to the team tonight.
Yeah.
The thought of another bunch of pizzas at Stantec's offices till 1 a.m. just
doesn't appeal.
No, it was really a lot of fun last night, I can tell you. But certainly just an indicating, given that there are some quite meaty topics tomorrow, noise, ecology, social impact, can we indicate just as well to, you know, subject to talking to the client and team, and Karen in particular, whether the panel would be open to hear from Ms. Bell on Thursday? You know, if we can signal that now.
And what I was thinking is even Friday if it needed it.
Okay. We'll talk to the team. I think if we can, you know, it's still a couple days away. There'll be a lot to think about, I'm sure, and more hospital passes to Ms. Bell tomorrow. And I think we'll aim for Thursday just to keep the momentum going. But I think we've got some space, a lot of space in the schedule, which is really helpful. So if we can actually just indicate now that Ms. Bell won't be till Thursday at least, that would be really helpful.
That's fine.
Second key question as well, just so we can start planning and prepping for Ms. Bell's magnum opus. In terms of a condition set, we've been talking you through, and hopefully that's been helpful, how the experts have been at a high level indicating support, further questions, rejection of some of those conditions. But we haven't, for some of the detail, put pen to paper on that. My normal practice would be to have a, after we hear from submitters, there's still plenty of evidence to hear next week, counsel as well, that we'd be tabling a revised set of conditions for you next week. I just want to flag and confirm we're on the same page with that. Or would it be helpful to have an interim stage of marked up conditions for the panel for Ms. Bell to speak through? Would that assist?
I'd just like to confer with the panel before I answer that question.
Thank you, sir.
There's a tension between getting a document that we can think about through the submissions process, but making sure it's had sufficient time to percolate. So our preference would be that we would hear from Ms. Bell on Friday with a set of conditions marked up, recognising that it is an interim, that you can revise it, and that there may be parts where Ms. Bell's response is, I'm still getting technical advice, but at a conceptual level, these are my planning concerns. So it's a case of nudging the can down the road, kicking the can down the road a bit. But I think it's useful for us to have something. So if that works for you, that would work for us.
Absolutely. I'm happy to provide whatever is helpful to the panel. I think it is, even acknowledging, and I'll have a big draft on it and subject to further refinement quite clearly, because There's a lot of folks we want to hear from next week who will no doubt have a lot to say that KiwiRail and its experts will need to carefully reflect on. But sure. I think it can be quite helpful to have a bit of a document to work through. So if we're aiming for Friday for that, and I think that's very helpful and certainly gives the team and Ms. Bell in particular more time to really think carefully about the range of issues, planning issues that have emerged. So again, just a flag for our planning and ensuring experts are here at the right time and not. I anticipate we will get through the bulk of the remaining witnesses tomorrow, I think. Thursday, we've got a submitter on in the morning, but are you envisaging, sir, that perhaps we'd adjourn for the rest of Thursday?
I think probably to keep the shape of the hearing, that would be what I would do. I don't think it's appropriate to this is actually quite intensive work.
Yes.
And it's intensive for us, it'll be intensive for you. So we're comfortable that there are breaks in between.
I'm really grateful for that, thank you.
So we want to keep it human. Yeah, so that's all good.
Really appreciate that.
Now, your confidence about getting through tomorrow may be misplaced.
depends on how many questions with respect you'll have.
On that topic, Mr. Child's evidence is extremely important.
Yes.
And we really need to be nursed through this in the way that Mr. Leahy and Mr. Skelton did today.
Yes.
But at even a more intense level, given the acoustics is quite a dense topic, and so we need to be led through that.
Mm-hmm.
So with that rider, we look forward with bated breath to the social impact evidence and the noise evidence, and we wish you all a very restful evening.
Commissioner Marston, sorry, just a point of clarification for the reporting officers. Are they excused, all of them, until next week? There was some talk of gap-filling, but I suspect they might be reluctant to appear before Ms. Bell has.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I think that will keep the shape of the hearing.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you very much.